Think about the stories we hear and tell during our lives. When we're young, other people tell us stories. When we get older, we begin to tell our own stories. We create them out of the stories we've heard and from our own experience. We use stories to explain the world, to communicate, to get things done, to find the companionship and encouragement we need. Stories reassure us. They reflect our hopes and dreams, as well as what we fear. To get on with our lives, we hold up a story. This is who I am. This is what I want. This is where I'm going. This is what I want to do or be. We need stories to grow up, to enter society, to interact with people. Stories tell about our identity. They have believable characters and a narrative that carries us forward. We prefer stories which tell us about lives that are predictable, secure, and explainable. But along the way, you might have noticed, what we get instead are changes. Dramatic, sudden, enormous, sometimes shocking. We know a crisis when we see it. Death, illness, job loss, breakup of family or a relationship. A crisis reminds us that the unexplainable, unanswerable questions actually matter the most. It's actually crisis that launches us on the journey of self-discovery. After the frenzied activity of crisis settles down, we can feel what we've been through and how unhinged we became. We no longer fit into our former life, but we don't know how to find a new one. It's a very uneasy time. It feels like something's not quite right. We choose a direction we think we want, or at least one that's socially acceptable. It's like the author Rilke's comment, "Be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart, and try to love the questions themselves." We distract ourselves with countless details that make us feel we are doing something worthwhile. Present-day society doesn't offer much in the way of vision. Instead, we have consumption. Instead of the journey, we have the mortgage. We are encouraged to go to stores filled with merchandise, well lighted, to shop for our true satisfaction. This is easier than taking the time to find out what's hidden in the obscure corners of our inner lives. One crisis at a time, we store grief and sorrow within ourselves over a lifetime. Sometimes unexpectedly, we burst open and speak our hearts. But it's hard to let the world know we're stuck, that we're suffering, that we've been bearing grief. Our culture emphasizes being kind to friends, family, and neighbors who are struggling, but not to ourselves. It's more likely we'll beat ourselves up than be supportive. Even our friends hardly ever ask questions that evoke our real feelings. They avoid that tender, wounded part of us because it's challenging, frightening, and because it might draw forth a similar pain in them. We might have no one to talk to, or no one who listens in a way that allows us to speak our grief, express the feelings, but can't find a way to say the words. After long waiting, simply to express ourselves, to speak, shout, cry out our truth from the heart is enough. When we speak our grief, we discover we are not alone in life's dark places. Buddhist teachings tell us that life is suffering, The reason is not because life's always terrible, but because it's so temporary, transient. Everything which appears, we lose. Thoughts, friends, loved ones, our body, and feelings. Life is a series of losses. In between, we get short rest periods during which we catch our breath and get ready for the losses still to come. But if we didn't experience loss, we wouldn't know happiness. That everything is temporary is the reason we have feelings of gratitude, love, and joy. It's a tricky business to express ourselves. We talk all the time, but to express ourselves, we need to know ourselves deeply. Especially important these days to know yourself and your value. Because we live in a time of almost endless medical ways of keeping people alive. When it becomes impossible for you to speak on your own behalf, other people will have to. If you don't share your values with them, it's possible to end up being treated in a way that does not reflect who we consider ourselves to be. We need others who listen with sympathy and without fear and encourage us to speak. We need the right circumstances to say what needs to be said. We need to stand up, speak our hearts, and listen carefully to one another. We all have a lot to say, but others seldom invite us to express it. Expressing ourselves is healing. It opens us to our lives. The simple act of speaking in truth, out loud and to others, about what we feel inspires us to carry on with our journey. Taking refuge in the Dharma means that we use the experiences of our lives to investigate our hearts and minds. To do this, we must be honest and willing to uncover something new about ourselves. We're raised to be independent, to think we can solve problems, fix what's broken, grab what we want, make things happen. But this approach to life ignores the deeper, more important questions. It doesn't give us room to reflect about who we are and what makes us happy. We live in a sensitive, fragile body. We experience joy or pain when our heart meets an uncertain world. Our hearts are vulnerable and can be damaged by hurt because we're afraid this will happen. We protect our hearts by trying to cover them against exposure. This doesn't work because covering the heart suffocates it until we have no feeling at all. We suffer because of the way we relate to our experiences, the things we value, and with our humanity. To find peace and satisfaction, not in accomplishment or accumulation only, but in the wisdom we gain when we are of service to others through friendship, love, and truth. We dash here and there in search of that elusive something we think we need. If we learn that it is better to be still and to have less, life can be one of joy, interest, and discovery. Spiritual practice encourages us to hang in there with the often difficult changes we experience. The constant shifts and reversals can be unpleasant, but they can prove us. We can be more peaceful if we're willing to hang on during times of grief without running away. Be attentive to whatever arises unexpectedly. Not try to fix anything, but holding on with what comes is what makes life dear. Buddhist traditions and teachings are grounded in practical kindness, in listening, in thinking about what will work in this world to benefit others. Life produces catastrophes naturally. Any moment can be a disaster. a challenge. Pay attention to what's going on internally and externally. Don't run away. Know yourself and express it to others. Trust what happens. Enlightenment is a result of holding on for dear life in the face of adversity.